Good message and song. I'm going to do something I hardly ever do, and I'm going to continue the sermon from this morning so I can sort of hurry up tonight. At least that's what I'm going to try to do, because we got something afterwards. Amen. I'm like the preacher said, he would love to just preach 20 minutes. Said he never had been able to do it, but he'd love to just do that. I guess that sort of fits me. I want you to start with me in the book of Revelation again, Revelation chapter 14, and we'll read a few verses in two or three chapters tonight, just a few verses. If you'll just go ahead and turn with me when we ask you to. I want to go along with this thought again tonight. We talked about the mark of the beast this morning. We talked about why people would take it. I used to have a real problem with that. I'd say, you know, even lost people that have rejected Christ and they go into the tribulation period, they've still heard enough that they ought to be too wise to take the mark. I used to think that, but no, I've decided they will take it for the reasons I gave this morning. Number one, economics. Boy, that just transcends everything, don't it? Buying and selling. Can't do it without the mark. And then I said it'll also be it'll be the medical reason also. You know, they started out a few years ago taking your pet with a chip or with a little information on a little chip that told all the pet's history and all it needed. They started out with the pets. Now a lot of folks got those things on their skin now. Really, they really have. But and right here in Florida, Vera Corporation's making some of them, still using them. But, of course, it's much more sophisticated than that. Now what they can do, and they're going to do even more than this, but they have a little old thing about the size of a grain of rice that can include your history, all the information about you, all your medical needs. And can you imagine not getting to go to the hospital without it if you didn't have it? Or even get a prescription filled at a drugstore if you didn't have it? That's what the mark will include. It'll include it all. Every bit of it. And so, yes, people will take it because the government says so, because you're not going to be able to buy or sell. And then you say, well, how will they know? I've seen the pictures, and you have too, where there'd be a big 666 marked on pen. No. That won't be it. You won't even see it maybe with the naked eye, but the scanner will see it. And we talked to you about that the other Sunday night, how the Bill and Linda Gates Corporation with all the billions involved, how they've now got this thing that they can shoot under you, shoot, and it don't hurt you. And they say it's almost melts away, but it's got the little, like a little luminous light under your skin that the scanner can pick up. That's technology now. That's what they can do now. That's what they're talking about now. A fellow sent me a video this week. I can't get off into all that. Watched a very well-spoken black lady in Kenya telling how that the Gates Foundation had gone over there forcing birth control on folks and tricking them and deceiving them with this exact thing that I'm talking to you about. It's if I had time, maybe sometime we might even show it to the church. But really, really interesting. So I want you to look in Revelation 14. We'll just go hit some verses quickly tonight. Revelation 14, I want you to look in verses 9 through 11. We'll start in verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now, here's what I want to do tonight, just two questions on the mark of the beast. I want to say and look in the scripture here to see what will happen if folks do take it. And then I want to see what will happen if folks don't take it. And the answer is in the book of Revelation, very, very clear. I spoke a little bit on it this morning. I'm going to follow up just a little bit on it tonight. Again, this morning I said for economic and medical reasons, people will certainly take the mark. And by the way, if you're not right with God, don't know God, why wouldn't you take it? Sure you would. All right, let's start with number one, if somebody does take it. We're talking about the population left here after the rapture. We're talking about after God's saints are called out. And the beast takes over, and the mark comes in, and the one world government and the kingdom is all of that. And it won't take decades to do that. It'll happen so quick, so very, very quick. And so what if they do take it? All right, we just read to you here in the text. See, God is jealous over his name. You know that's what's involved. We got all kind of cults and isms and all kind of false names and false gods today. And somebody takes that very lightly. God don't take it lightly. He judged the whole nation of Israel all the way through the Old Testament when they departed and went after idols. You know the story, don't you? Now, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. His name. The Bible says, none other name given unto heaven among men whereby we must be saved. His name. Name that's above every name. And so what about the crowd that takes the mark? They're taking the name, that's what it says in Revelation 13, the number of his name. So they're taking the false name, they're taking the satanic, the Antichrist name, and when they do that, we read in the text here, God is going to bring judgment upon those that take the name and the mark of the beast. Now I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter 16. We're going to look at just two verses in Revelation chapter 16 as we think about the people that do take the mark. Verse 1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon just the one group now, upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshiped his image. So God is going to separate out those that have taken his name, taken his mark, and this angel here is told to pour out the vial of God's wrath, and it says, there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast. Now think with me a minute. It's probably going to be something put in the skin. Like I said, Gates has something going now. It's probably the most latest technology. Whether it's a grain of rice, as it's been in the past, put on the skin. But it's going to be a mark. It might even be called a vaccination. Amen? Very well could be. But there's something different about this. Now, if I had you to raise your hand, you even know of, that might have happened to you. You remember when we used to get vaccinated at school, the smallpox vaccination and all that? I remember one of the sickest nights I ever spent in my life was after the shots. They gave us diphtheria shots, and I remember getting so sick with that thing. And here's what I'm saying to you. When this thing comes, God gets into it. And they get the vaccination, or we'll call it that, or the mark. He puts a grievous sore, an infection, if you please, comes from the mark that they receive. Now, I thought about preaching on the subject when God brings his virus along. And that's about what it amounts to here. When the mark of the beast is accepted, God's judgment falls upon it. And is it an infection? Perhaps it is. I don't know. It's called a grievous sore. And it comes as a result on a particular group, and it's the group that took the mark of the beast. So my first question is, what's going to happen to those that do take it? And here we're reading right straight out of the Bible, a grievous, noisome sore, infection or whatever, is God's judgment on those that took the mark and worshiped the beast. Now that's the crowd that do take it. All right, let's look at the crowd that does not take it. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 13, and pick it up at about verse 15. Preach from Revelation 13 a little bit this morning. And it says in verse 15, he had power to give life, talking about the false prophet, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be what? Killed. Well, we've studied that in Sunday school. If you keep turning back toward the front of the book of Revelation, you go back to chapter 6. And you find the souls under the altar in Revelation chapter 6. And the fifth seal is opened in verse 9. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now, we find these souls on the altar, these martyrs, crying out, How long? And we find out they've been killed. But now, if we want to know how they got killed, we got to go to Revelation again. And we go over to Revelation chapter 20. And we'll pick it up in Revelation chapter 20. And I've got to get to it here myself in verse 4. I believe I'm looking at Revelation 20, verse 4. Here we go. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw, watch it now, the souls of them that were beheaded. That's how they got killed. That was the martyrs under the throne in Revelation chapter 6. They'd been slain. How'd they get slain? They rejected the mark, and they were beheaded. I've talked to you a little bit about guillotines and beheading and Islam's. That's their main way of doing things and so forth. But it says here in Revelation 20, verse 4, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not, listen to this one, had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark, nor upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Okay, they got slain physically, the body, beheaded, but they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So the question comes back, what happens if you do take it? What happens if you don't take it? And it's very clear in the book of Revelation, very clear. These are the souls of Revelation 6. They were beheaded. They stood the test. Boy, I tell you what, it's an interesting time we're living in. I think we're going to see the church tested more and more till Jesus comes. I think we're going to see individuals tested more and more. It's one thing to come to church and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. It's something else to stand up when it may cost you your life. And you read in the book of Revelation where it talks about God praising them that love not their life unto death. Now, I'd like to hope I'd be in that group. I'd like to hope that I would stand. I just feel like I would. But brother, when the test comes, it is coming. Now, I think the rapture's coming, but let's be careful. Let's not think that the rapture's our escape hatch. We are going to have some troubles and trials and tests. And maybe we're going through some of them now. We have them in daily life, no doubt about it. Family and sickness and all that goes on. But when it is something coming from the outside, when it's coming from government, when it's coming from rulers, when it's coming in the name of the law, how are we going to act then? None of us want to be lawbreakers. Somebody said all it takes to make a lawbreaker is to have a bad law. If they make the law to close the churches, I'll be a lawbreaker. And yet, that is happening right now in America. I got some up here, I believe it was this morning I had it, where the Supreme Court ruled against the church in, Nevada? And said it couldn't have more than 50, but all the other organizations could have as many as they wanted. That's none of government's business. We have a constitution that speaks to separation of church and state. Yet they've tabled all of our rights, constitutional rights, in this so-called time of crisis. And we're seeing that thing happen. Okay, if they do not take it, yes, they'll be killed. They'll be beheaded. But the scripture says in Revelation 20, they'll rule for 1,000 years. Says we'll be his priest. You know, there's going to be some work to do in the millennial reign. Do you know there's going to be some natural fleshly bodies on earth in the millennial reign? If you check out the birth rate and so forth that's going on, you'll find out there'll be a multitude that has not heard, will still be having babies. You'll find out the curse of the earth has been lifted when Jesus comes back, and the rose bush will lose its thorns, and the animals will lose their carnivorous nature. But you'll also find out where man still has to deal with his rebellion and make a choice. And you and I, we may not be the best testimony to the community right now. They may not look at us and say, there goes Jesus. But in the millennial reign, we'll be like him. Boy, I like that. No longer displease him in the flesh. Do his bidding without being pulled the wrong way. Boy, that'll be a time, won't it? Be a time. It'll be a different thing. Earth will lose its curse. The animals can lay down together in peace. And the lion can eat straw like the ox instead of eating the ox. Amen? That's the millennial reign of Christ. Well, you know what? The rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years if you don't take the mark. Now, I'm talking to you, and as if you're here and you're lost, and you say, well, the Christians are called out, I won't take the mark. I suspect you will. I suspect you want to buy and sell. I suspect you want your medical records and want to go to the drugstore and the hospital. I suspect you will. Sad truth is, it's going to be too late. You're going to bring God's judgment according to the verses I just read to you down during that time. You see, there's a choice between taking the mark or not taking it, but death is the penalty if you don't. That's Book of Revelation telling us about that time. Now we live in a lifetime, and we have choosing to do, don't we, all the time? You know, we choose all the time. We live in a day and time where the word discrimination is the big sin. You know, understand that? But you notice how it's interpreted by the crowd that wants to be the authority. Right. Let me tell you something. Every human being is a discriminator. I discriminated this morning because I had toast and honey instead of cereal. I discriminated against cereal. Yesterday morning, I discriminated against the toast and honey. You choose all the time. Yeah, I bought me a new Ford, then you discriminated against Chevrolet. And that is a sin, by the way. All right. Come on back with me. We make choices all the time, right? Sure we do. And there's consequences to the choices. In our midst tonight, most of us have chosen to receive Christ as our Savior. I hope so. I hope so many out in Radio Land, but some have chosen not to. And there's consequences for choosing him and consequences for rejecting him. Life is a time of choosing. And somebody said life is a dressing room for eternity. And there's a real truth there. Shakespeare said, and he got it from the King James Bible, Shakespeare said that life is as a tale that is told. Yes, and it's during this lifetime we choose. We can choose for the Lord, we can choose against him. We can choose to believe his word, or we can choose to reject it. Amen. You know, we choose who we're going to worship in this life. And God is a jealous God. He hates it when those reject his name and choose the false gods of the world. And it's a time today that people are doing that. Eternity, though, is going to reveal our choices. It's going to reveal our consequences to those choices. You remember what Joshua said? He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Making a choice. He said, you can choose the gods of the Amorites on the other side, the flood back there. But he said, as for me and my house, we're going to choose to serve God. I want to say to you right now, we don't have it much pressure in America. We might get a little frown. We might get an unkind word if we don't wear a mask in a certain store or something. But that's not real persecution. But on planet Earth tonight, there are people under great persecution for not rejecting Christ. I told it, I think, this morning in Sunday school or in the message. I was reading again this week about the 21 Egyptian men, workers, that the Muslims lined up, and they had them on TV, and they put those orange suits on them and made them bow out there on the ground, and they chopped all their heads off. And the news didn't tell us why, the whole reason why. Oh, yeah, because they were not Muslims, yes, but because they gave them a choice to renounce Christ, and they would not renounce him. And they gave their lives. They did not love their life unto death. Now, we'll see those men on the other side. Amen. Say, how you know they were believers? Because they gave their life rather than to denounce Christ. Now, I'm saying to you, we're going to come to a place that we're going to see more and more of that happen. What are you going to do? Oh, I never received the mark. Are you sure? If you've not received Christ now, you'll receive the mark of the Antichrist then. That's what you'll do. You see, you either believe on him or you don't. The scripture says in John 3:18, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That's a choice. That's a choice. I challenge you tonight, if you haven't chosen the Lord Jesus Christ, now's the time to do it. Now's the time you have freedom. Now the time you can say, I will do what I want to do instead of being forced to do it with a sword. That will come down the road if you wait long enough. Would you bow your head and let's stand, please. Father, we come to you asking your blessing now on our fellowship to follow. We thank you, Father, for Hector and Sharon, and pray your blessings on them as they go to serve someplace else in your field. We ask you to give them health and strength and give them souls for their labor. In the meantime, Father, help us to keep going here and to be faithful and stick by the stuff and not change. And Father, as the world gets worse and the pressure gets greater and the test seems to come more regular, help us, Father, to stand. The scripture tells us that having done all to stand. I pray you'd bless in the auditorium right now. Maybe somebody right this minute needs to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ and come and receive him tonight. And Father, they can make that choice freely now. The day may come that under the threat of life, they'll have to deny him. I pray, Father, that'll not happen, that not one in the sound of my voice would wait that long where it would be too late. Tonight, I pray that they would freely choose the Lord Jesus Christ, for I ask it in his name. Amen. We're going to sing here in the auditorium. Whatever God's asked you to do, short invitation tonight, will you come?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will,
will you come?
Ever
will you come?
Love and trust him in his presence.
Might or just come and say, Lord, give me some backbone. Give me some spiritual courage to stand about what I'm having to deal with now, much less what's coming on planet Earth. You see, this day and age, the Holy Spirit's your helper. He can help you. You go into the tribulation period, you're not going to have him to comfort you then.
All to Jesus I
it's going to be the wrong spirit, the spirit of the Antichrist prevailing.
Take me, Jesus.